So, welcome to this special council meeting on this early morning of September 21st. As we get started, we do have a tradition that we open in prayer and the pledge. Dale, I'm going to just call on you. Would you open this in prayer this morning?
Sure.
And I'll let you grab your mic. You'll have to lift it up. There you go. Thank you.
Dear God, thank you for the opportunity to gather for this meeting this morning. Please watch over our minds and our hearts as we discuss items that pertain to the city of Nampa, and give us wisdom. Thank you for each and everyone in this room. Thank you for watching over our families today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Dale. So, let's get started with roll call.
Bowers? Here. Haverfin?
Here.
Reynolds?
Here.
St. Paul? Bruder?
Here.
And Rodriguez?
Here.
In that we only did roll for city council, I wonder if we should be doing roll for planning and zoning, and you don't have those names probably.
They can go off their names.
So, why don't we go ahead? We didn't. Okay, we didn't advertise it as planning and zoning, so I guess we won't. But as we get started, I would like us just to real quickly say who is here so we're of the record, and we'll start right here.
Tom. Planning and zoning.
Peggy Salmon, planning and zoning.
Drew Morgan, planning and zoning.
Steve Kehoe, planning and zoning.
Victor Rodriguez, Napa City Council.
Randy Everfield, Napa City Council.
And actually, the rest of the city council, so we're good. I just wanted to make sure that we captured our planning and zoning members. And thank you guys for being here this morning. We're in a different set than we normally are, and we did that really just out of respect for our planning and zoning members, because this is a workshop and it involves all of us. So it's officially a special council meeting, but we wanted to be able to have discussion and all be together, and so it's a little bit different set than normal. And for our guests in the back, excuse our backs to you, but thank you for being here this morning. So as we get started today, we are actually discussing the State Highway 16 specific area plan and the land use. Doug, thank you for your work on this. I really appreciate it. It's been a good exercise, and council, I know you're familiar with it and have seen some initial communication on it, but we look forward to this morning having the opportunity to discuss it. I don't know how long we're anticipating this to take. I'm going to give a quick heads up. I have to step out at 8:30 today. We may be done by that time. Randy, just in case, you'll be on.
I'll be right behind you.
So hopefully we'll be able to conclude by that time, but if not, I'll have to step away and with my apologies. So let's go for it. It's on.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I do not aspire to this position in front of the dais. I appreciate what you have to go through to stand here. The project that we're looking on, I just wanted to address the mayor, council, and commissioners, Doug Richfield, the planning and zoning. We have Mark Mobles, the Paul's team behind us, so they have a little bit of information in this presentation, and so we may invite one of them to come up if they have questions about what they're proposing here. So this is a continuation of the State Route 16 specific area plan. We've been before you twice before, so this is an update on our process. I just want to go through quickly how we got to this point. This first map that you can see up on the board and in front of me here shows the areas that have already been annexed into the city. This blue hatched area, this is residential up to the north, and then down to the south along the railroad tracks, that is industrial down in that area. of course, the purpose of this plan is to evaluate the new 16 corridor and the changes that are coming into this area to reflect the community's values. We did generate a map early on in this process of existing conditions, and this is showing several development types going along this corridor in this specific plan area. There is existing residential development in the heart of this specific plan area. It's mostly low density. It's in the county. And over on the east side of Highway 16 as well, there's residential development. 16 will literally be going through some of their backyards, so it's going to be quite a change for those residents in that area. There is Amazon and Walmart and some other developments just to the west of the specific area plan along Franklin. Lactalis is in there, and there's some a small existing commercial development. And then down south, of course, is the mining area and some other undeveloped areas of the community. We did take a look at two preliminary drafts when we started to work with the steering committee on this project, and JEV developed two drafts for us of what potentially could occur in this area, and we've had some reaction from landowners and from the community about this, and I'll share the survey information that we received. The community was given the opportunity to review this, as well as some of the themes that we're looking at in this area, and I'll provide that information in a moment. And I'd be glad at any time to go back to any of these. This is also showing, I'll give you a closer look, traffic analysis of the area. Really the only thing that, a couple of things that are different than what's existing on the ground in the 16 corridor is that there's a proposal to extend the Waihee Storm Road from Ustick all the way down to south of Cherry, and to carry that corridor through as a collector street for that area. We think it'll be heavily used as a result of the Ustick and Franklin interchanges. The Ustick and then the Cherry connection. There is a trail system proposed along 10 Mile Creek. You can see this in the green here in this area, and that will be an important asset to the development of this specific plan area. And then further to the south, you can see the Franklin interchange and the connection to I-84. Eventually, there'll be a flyover in this area, similar to the 184 exchange in Boise. And then this is really kind of our first look at what we think is a definitive plan for the connection to the south, connecting Airport Road to Stam Lane with a roundabout and with an east-west connector and a north-south connector. This connection is still going through some studies. I think, I don't know whether the final plan has come to you or is coming to you here shortly for your consideration. We also had the community look at two different themes, a traditional theme, which has more articulation in the buildings and soffit types of roofs, a little bit more neighborhood type of feel, versus a contemporary theme with stronger lines in the architecture, different color palette, different types of planning, a different look to it. So in terms of the survey overview, we ran a survey from August 22nd to September 13th, and I want to thank Amy and her staff for really helping push this out. We had about 180 responses to the survey, and we had different takes on these themes. The about 62%, 63% were in favor of more of a traditional look out here, and 33% for contemporary. We're proposing perhaps a combination, more towards traditional, but a combination of the two. And we'll start to see some images and graphics come out of that as we start to develop this. In terms of the opportunity to give us a vision where what people would like to see in what location, we had different responses, and the primary response, or the overwhelming response that we received, is that people want to see more open space, and they were talking about parks and open space. We interpret that as wanting to have opportunities for nice landscaping connections, areas for respite, developed throughout this specific plan area, and also the opportunity to join in the trail system and the park system that we have. There was some interest in connecting south of I-84 and just ensuring that the transportation flow was manageable in this area. And also, it was interesting that there was some interest in residential and retail in this development, which is good, because then it provides, I think, a human scale to the type of development that could go out here. And then some interest in industrial, bike pit, and some office buildings. In terms of the specific survey questions, general survey questions, we had a few. I've changed the color on these so you can distinguish between them. But the first question is, what specific land uses would you like to see along the south side of Eustick Road near the entrance to Hawaii High School? And overwhelming retail, restaurant, and there was some talk about single-family homes with small yards, and also 3 to 5-story buildings with apartments or townhomes. So there's an interest for a little denser development with commercial along that corridor, which matches what Meridian is proposing north of Eustick Road in the Fields development plan. And that will extend all the way down Eustick Road. We see that as a potential. Eustick is really being a major corridor for us with that connection. In terms of the green space pathways proposed on Cherry Lane and 10 Mile Creek, that we think is an area that will be desirable for different types of mixed-use development, and that was confirmed by the survey. People want to see single-family homes and retail stores and restaurants kind of clustered in that area. And also, again, 3 to 5-story buildings. Not much interest in the way of multi-story business parks along that Cherry Lane corridor. So the next question, where the statewide 16 corridor will meet I-84 in Canyon County between Barbasa and McDermott, what land uses would you like to see next to the freeway? Large shopping centers, multi-story business parks was the majority of the response that we had, with some industrial and warehouse distribution in that area. The connection south of 84, there was interest in light and local industrial buildings or a multi-story business park in that area, and single-family homes with small yards, maybe even some large shopping centers in this area. And then as development along I-84 evolves, would you like to see more of along the interstate? People, again, are interested in tying this together with landscaping, multiple materials and colors on the buildings, taller buildings, and more fenestration on the buildings. And then lastly, what types of public or civic improvements would you like to see within the specific plan area? Again, overwhelmingly parks and open space. There was a response of public institutions that could be anything from a library to police, fire, anything that has a civic use to it, perhaps even schools, outdoor sports complex, and a transit center. So I thought that was interesting. And then how important are grocery stores, gas stations, doctor's offices, and so forth? They vary to somewhat important. That was the majority of the response that we got on that. So we also received some feedback from Bottles, and they have interest in about 300 acres. They're working with landowners in this area. There's 3 large parcels that they're working with right along between McDermott and south of Eustick. And so they gave us some feedback on what they are talking about or proposing in this area. They're looking, and again, chime in if there's any Emily or whoever, if you'd like to chime in on so I'm not misrepresenting you here. But there's interest of a master plan type of a community in this area. There's talk of some commercial up along USIC and 16, business campus to the south of that, and perhaps a light industrial or a multiplex space down in this area. There was the thought of tucking in multifamily somewhere in this development to make it more multi or mixed use. And then south of this development to step down from very low density or low density to medium and then high density towards the 16 corridor. And then the 33 acres of the triangle piece down here is proposed as being a church site. These are some of the graphics that they provided us in terms of the type of architecture and the look and feel of the space. This is more of a commercial look that they're proposing in this area for retail and local retail. And west of the business park, this is the type of development that they're talking about. A lot of fenestration, more of a campus type of a feel, which is in line pretty much with our thought process. And then they have, I don't know if I can get this to play, but this is a development, I believe, in Elk Grove, California. And this is the look and feel that they're after here. I don't have any music and background for you, but...
Thank you, right, Mike.
Alan,
can you sing?
What?
Can you sing?
No.
I can say that.
We're encouraged by the desire by Bottles Group for landscaping, campus feel, nice entrance features, different types of paving, different colors and accoutrements in the landscape.
When you finish with this particular video, would this be a good time to ask if Mark Bottles or Emily had any additions to your comments?
Sure.
If they wanted to make a brief comment, since we're referencing theirs.
You bet.
Is this a good time to do that?
Or
is it later? Can you tell me how it fits in here?
Yeah. Emily, what do you think? What do you want to...
We got whatever you want. We'd love to come up and answer questions. If you want to get through those slides, or we can, I think that it is done. So.
Yeah, I think there's a couple more slides on. So that was done. Move to the next one. Okay, it's not going to. There we go. And then east of the highway, this is that flex space that they were talking about. Again, has a lot of fenestration, articulation in the building, landscaping. And then the high-density multifamily. So I believe that's Patty Van Townhomes, that type of look. So, Emily, did you want to come up and...
So I just appreciate, Mark, thank you guys for being here today, and Emily, and many times we don't have someone presenting, but since you guys have taken the time to really show an interest to provide this type, really this level of detail, and showing up this morning, we'd love to give you just a minute to add to anything that Deb said.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, thank you, City Council and planning staff. Doug, thank you so much and your whole team. This has been a few months now, and we've had almost a dozen meetings with JUB or the staff, and we're just really grateful for that. Again, I spoke, I think, last week on a different area, and the same thing here. We represent a partnership of folks and who would like to master plan this and develop it, and we're just really excited about this area. This also borders the south side of that Meridian Fields area, which we're highly invested in, and this will all develop together, and we'll be one, you know, community out there. So, as Doug said, we have about 300 acres after ITD comes and takes about 20 acres on both sides. We're on both sides of that highway. We're closing on some of the ground next month and otherwise own it already. We're in large agreement with what the city staff has done, which we're really grateful for, and again, is because we've had so many meetings. And just seeing the survey feedback for the first time today, we really, I think our vision really aligns with what the public has responded to in the survey. And we understand that some of this is a mosaic of collage images, but we understand that there might be one theme that you want to move forward with, or maybe multiple themes, but we want to fit into that. And what we really want to do is create a unique sense of place here again, something that is going to be not only the gateway to the city, but is really going to be the center of the whole valley. And we want to, yeah, make this a beautiful place. The thing that we have spent more time, as you can see from, if it's okay if I go back to the, this, is the part that's really southwest of Mystic and the highway, and creating a multi-use park there. We would love to be able to have a designation that allows for all sorts of different things, office, light industrial, flex space. In that video that we showed from Elk Grove, that's a development in Illinois. And what we love about that is that there's a unique entrance that looks like a nice business park, and there can still be industrial in there that doesn't look like the industrial that we've seen before. We understand we don't want long, huge industrial buildings with just one little corner of a facade, but that needs, people driving by need to wonder, oh, is this office? Is this industrial? And a space that can really grow with the community and have economic viability through different markets, and something that's going to bring strong jobs and to that center. So that's what we see in that center, and I think really that's kind of those 80 acres, or really 90 acres southwest of Eustick and the highway, have been the focus of dialogue with city staff, and we're grateful for that. And the only other thing that we've been talking about that's really important is utilities and getting utilities here. We don't want this to be a plan. We believe in this plan. We love this plan and this planning effort, and don't want this to be a plan that sits on the shelf unutilized if sewer takes a really long time to get out there. As we all know, sewer drives development. So those are some of the conversations we've had with city staff and are grateful. So any questions for me or Mark or John?
Council, do you have any questions?
Mayor, yeah. Emily, Doug said 300 acres. So are you interested in purchasing more acreage, or is this kind of what your plan is, just the 300 acres?
If it comes available, I think we'd love to acquire more ground. We've had conversations with landowners. Mark knows most of the landowners out there, and would love to, yeah, continue to acquire ground.
Any other questions? Planning, zoning?
Mayor.
Yes, Randy.
I really appreciate the thought that's gone into this, and I really like the idea of a religious...
You don't have to be so close. I got that mic to roll on.
Okay.
Stand outside.
Yeah, maybe it's me.
It's you.
Anyway, a sense of place, I think, is important with a faith-based aspect to it. I really like that. But I was going to ask you, there was quite a bit of water indicated in the Elk Grove development. Is that a natural water feature that you're trying to attach to? Is it something that maybe you haven't thought about yet as far as in working with Public Works?
I'm sorry, your mic was off, so I was going to have you pause till it got back on, but okay. Keep going. It's on now.
Okay, yeah. Hopefully no feedback. Have you worked or talked at all with our Public Works Department? Because there's, I know moving forward, we're looking at a series of settling ponds to be able to capture some of the natural water for irrigation purposes that might be able to flow through a development as well. So that's just something to maybe think about down the road. But the only question I was going to ask you is USDIC an elevated overpass so that people would get off onto USDIC, but the continuation of 16 would be uninhibited? Is that the way that that intersection is set up at 16th and Franklin, I believe?
In this next phase, I'm not entirely sure, but USDIC is an interchange. So there will be an interchange there. There isn't one at Cherry, and there isn't one at McMillan. So I'm not sure if phase two has an overpass, or if it, and you connect, phase three will be the overpass.
On USDIC?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's my understanding. But so it will always be an interchange.
So it's at grade at this point in this
correct
development. All right. And so there'll be signalization of some type there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And and thank you for the question on those water features. We have not dug into that of how to make that feasible. What we really wanted to communicate is the feel of this needs to be an amenitized, really nice place. So, you know, water features, and this would be a smaller scale than that example, but would certainly be willing and would love to talk about how to make some of those design features
work.
Yeah. So, absolutely. What we really wanted to communicate with that is the feel of and the quality of what an entrance there would look like.
I know in Eagle, obviously the legacy development has high groundwater, so they're able to tap into that with the ponds that are built.
Mm-hmm.
So in this area, I think we're on a higher shelf, so we don't have that
right
groundwater to work with. So.
Yeah, but some you know, fountains or some sort of water feature. We have a water feature outside of our business park by the Pet IQ in Eagle, and you can still do really nice things there. But yeah, we are at a higher water shelf there. Yes.
With the current conditions worldwide, is a water feature, and I like water features, believe me, I do, but is a water feature the best way to go for the future? I mean, maybe 10 years from now, we'd be digging new wells to find more water. Maybe, could it be something that was convertible from water feature to something else?
If so. I could speak to that. So we've been working, we have a drought task force that we've been working with, and a couple of our goals with, in order to maximize the utilization of our surface water is to have some ponds, and they're functional ponds. And so when you're needing to pull, like sometimes there's a real high demand and those ponds would serve as to capture that when it's a high demand, they would be available. So they're actually functional. They can be beautiful, but functional. And so that's just something for a later discussion as we further refine where we go. We're looking at putting some ponds in a couple different areas, some at the golf course, and then we're actually, I think, looking at another location. So right now, a lot of our pressurized irrigation is surface water. And so this ground, I'm sure, has surface water, and I don't remember off the top of my head if this is Pioneer Irrigation District. But, so we'll be working on that. But there's some intentionality to design, and that may be something that we take into consideration just to assist as we go. But the city's actually working right now on a couple ponds.
Thank you.
Yeah, if that does that answer your question?
Ma'am.
Yeah.
That's what I was speaking to. Uh-huh. There's behind the scenes quite a bit of work already being in play that you might be able to tag team on and be a part of.
Great, thank you. Any other questions for me? Thank you. Thank you. This was good. Appreciate you being here. Thank you. And also thank you for the consideration of the campus feel in that, quote, industrial or commercial type environment, that it has a different look. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, City Council and planning staff. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I do want to remind, and maybe this is more for council, we shouldn't have any sidebar discussions during the meeting, even though it's a workshop, just because everything that we discuss should be public. So I apologize, but I just want to make sure that we adhere to our kind of our guidelines, that there are no side discussions that take place during the council meeting. So thank you, Doug.
I also neglected to mention that Bree has been instrumental in making this happen, and she is terrific and a real up-and-coming star here. So thank you, Bree, for all your work on this.
Mayor, I have a quick question on the pathway, Doug.
Yeah.
How long are we talking about currently on the path, on the pathway, on the green path?
Oh, boy, Rodney, do you have any sense of that?
Is the question how when you say how long?
Well, I'm just wondering how long.
How far west is it going to go?
West, east, yeah. What is it going to connect to something, or in the future we hope it connects with something? Or?
So, Mayor, Council, this is a part of our master plan for pathways in the city. So the 10 Mile Creek is one of those pathways that we will follow as far as we can go. It does connect into Meridian, and Meridian has the plan to continue that pathway as well. So as you follow 10 Mile Creek, as far as we can go is the vision there.
So we're talking about we're not talking about 20-year plan, we're talking about this being functional for a person to take their bike for several miles if so desired in three or four years from now?
Correct. If you think of like the Wilson Pathway here in our community right now, that was started under Parks, and we had a lot of HOAs take responsibility for maintenance of the sides of that pathway, but the City Parks maintains the asphalt. We have improved our standards significantly since that was first put in, and so now we have a certain width for a pathway corridor for safety reasons and for maintenance reasons. And so this would follow those standards, and it would be a pathway similar to that, though. So you could take that into Meridian, you could go over to Caldwell, it's the same idea.
Great.
So, quick question on that. Not knowing exactly where the pathway could possibly flow in the midst of something, right? If it were through the campus area or whatever. So, would the city be solely responsible for that entire pathway, or would, if it meandered through a subdivision, would the subdivision be responsible for maintenance?
So, currently what our Parks Department has said they want to have happen is that we take responsibility for the pathway itself. And then the HOAs, what they prefer, the Parks Department prefers, is to have the HOA be responsible for maintenance of the landscaping along the sides. So as each subdivision or development comes in, we request a easement for that pathway, and then we secure that, and we have conditions that we will maintain it long-term. The pathway part of it long term, and the HOA will be responsible for the landscape.
I think sometimes there's a lack of knowledge with HOAs that they're responsible to maintain the easement area around the pathway, but that's good to know. And what my thought was, it's parks staffing, because one of the things that we continue to do is develop parks, right? And so you think about a pathway, but the staffing, the cost of the staffing operationally to maintain that is massive. And so that's one of the things, because it is general fund dollars.
So Mayor, follow-up. So you mentioned Wilson. So currently every Saturday there's mowers galore doing the grass and so on beside the Wilson pathway. So is that HOA that is covering those costs?
Yeah, unfortunately it's a mix, because we didn't have a policy in place as that pathway was being developed.
So city and...
There's some city, but there's a lot of actually HOA. The middle...
Is it Middle Creek?
Middle Creek is.
Between Roosevelt and Midland is what I see.
That's an age away.
So Middle Creek is maintaining that. Good.
One thing that's important is that there's water to the area, because it's much easier to maintain it.
7 a.m. she's mowing.
Because Wilson Creek, where I am, is not. It's dry and it's windy. It's very difficult. Yeah. So, thank you.
All right, so gathering all the information that we have, we've come up with delivered a draft land use concept. I'd like to go through this with you a little bit more in detail. This is really kind of the reason why we're here this morning, is to provide feedback on this concept plan. We'll take a look at this in sections so you can see what's being proposed here. And feel free again to comment at any time as I go through this. So the along again Eustick corridor, it's proposed that we have high density residential and neighborhood commercial in these areas, and these symbols here represent. I think the star represents. Let me go back. I think the star represents an institution. Let me go back this way. I can't see that. Bree, do you have to remember what the star represents here?
The star represents some kind of entrance or monument to identify you're in Nampa, some kind of location signifying that. The green would be potential parks, and the purple would be an institutional site.
Thank you. Bree is play-by-play, and I'm color. The star then would be entrance features, park area next to this commercial. We think it's important, particularly with the medium density that's already been proposed and extend to the south over off of Star Road. There was some discussion about this area south of this medium density residential with low density residential across the street at Star Road. We think that it has potential for neighborhood commercial in this area. There's a real need for it in this area. Maybe with a mix of high density and commercial in that area. So we're proposing that we hold that ground as being mostly neighborhood commercial with some high density potential. And then further south on Hawaii Storm, the purple street that comes down, there's a lot of different land uses here. High density residential along Hawaii Storm between the medium and the commercial campus that the Bottles Group is discussing. And then commercial and planned development around the 10 Mile Creek corridor. On either side of the corridor, we're looking at perhaps expanding that out a little bit, giving some opportunity for green space. And treating this more like a development off of Cherry Lane, a commercial pod, if you will, off of Cherry Lane, with medium density residential to support that. So, Cherry Lane, if you go to the east on Cherry Lane, under 16, onto the Meridian side, there's a large park that's being proposed over on that side. So we think that there's going to be some interest in this corridor from that large park site, with the medium density residential in this area to support a commercial pod around the 10 Mile corridor. So there's some connection opportunities in this area. So I wanted to see if I had any comments about this section.
Yes,
Is the 10 Mile Creek, is that considered waters of the U.S.? I mean, is the water feature of quality that, I mean, could that be Nampa's version of Indian Creek going through Caldwell?
That is a very good question. I don't have the answer to that. I don't know what the water quality is out there.
Yes.
Might be something to consider. If it's just irrigation water, is one thing. But if it's more of a natural water feature that is considered part of, obviously the waters of the United States, and it would be something that we could maybe open up, and people like the Bottles Group could capture a feel that is special, ideal.
Greek, whatever
they call that development.
This is Tom Waits, Republic Works. That is the waters of the U.S.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Great.
Thanks.
Mayor, thanks. I guess I'm not familiar with the creek. About how, I'm sure it fluctuates, but what's the width in most of the area? Do you have any idea? What are we talking about?
Most you fish in?
Most people shallow. Yeah, it's pretty wide.
Ask your co-counsel.
Well, it's like a canal. Yeah.
So, Tom, do you want to answer that question, or Ronnie, would you like to?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it on our GIS just to get a sense of that. Tom, if you have a better idea of that, I appreciate it.
Sam, don't
speak. I'm sorry, could you repeat the question on the microphone? I can hear it.
That's, yeah, because they take my microphone away most of the time. No, I was just asking what the width, I realize it fluctuates, you know, like Wilson, I know, behind our yard, it's probably 40 feet, but then it narrows to 10 feet and so on. So I'm just, the fluctuations, depth, how clear the water is, those are probably the three main questions I have.
Yeah, it's very similar to Indian Creek as far as the characteristics of the width and depth. It's not real wide, probably, you know, 5 feet at the deepest. But yeah, it does carry some, it's also diverted somewhat from irrigation as well, but it's relatively clean, at least in this part that we're talking about. As it gets closer to the Boise River, there's some drain flow that ends up in it. It's a little dirtier, but pretty decent water quality.
So, Tom, if I may, Tom, follow up, and what Councilman Haverfield mentioned then is, do you see, and Ronnie kind of shook his head, yes, affirmative, I believe, but do you see this being somewhat comparable to an Indian Creek type situation development around it?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I think that's definitely got a lot of potential there. Good idea.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Tom, the thoughts that are going forward as far as with the drought committee that's looking at the settling areas, is it off of Tenmont Creek that some of those water retention areas would be placed?
So there's quite a few irrigation canals and laterals through this area, and what we need to do is just work with Nampa Meridian Irrigation District and Pioneer, because this is kind of right in the transition area, to determine where to be the best spot to build basically a storage pond. Because how it works is you divert the water during the low demand during the day into the pond, and then at night you would inject it back into the pressurized irrigation system. So there would be a pump station that we could, you know, make it look nice, but be near the pond. But there would still be water in it. We could still build it in a way that there would still be water in it at all times, and just have a fluctuating surface level to pump water in and out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Rodney, did you have
anything? Mayor, just one short comment is that there's definitely potential to utilize 10 Mile Creek in new ways and not just keep it as this narrow creek. It could be opened up a little more, make it a little shallower in certain spots to be utilized as part of the development. That just takes some coordination with the agencies responsible for 10 Mile Creek, but it is possible to do that, and that is kind of the vision for this area, to open this up, utilize it as an asset in our community rather than just something we fence off and don't get to use.
Mayor,
thank you.
Can I
ask
a question?
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'm a little bit ahead of the game here, but on both the creek, and if Rodney says it gets expanded for more than just a creek, and along the walkway, the corridor walkway, has that been determined? Is that going to be a cost to maintain that board by the city, or would that be part of the community development agreement that the people that buy property along there pay for the maintenance of that? I'm just trying to figure out where that cost comes in to help support that once it's built.
Yeah, so, again, Rodney, the pathway, the paving on the pathway itself is maintained by the city. But the landscaping is generally maintained by the property owners adjacent to it.
And again, though, that is in the master plan for this city's parks master plan. They are planning on that. That is a goal to get these pathways developed, regardless of whether we put it in the plan or not,
right.
This plan or not.
So we do have a couple of planning and zoning members that are online on Teams. And Jeff Kirkman had a question, and I'm sorry since I can't see it, I'm missing some of the questions, but Amy brought it over, and I believe his question. And Jeff, would you like to ask it directly so I state it correctly?
Sure. Can you hear me, Mayor?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So I was just thinking about the rail that goes through there, and there's some renewed interest, especially from Caldwell, the recent proclamation, but interest in getting some rail service going through there. Is there any consideration from the developers at this point early on about utilizing that rail service or, and you know, a rail station, where would that fit? Would it be zoned? Was that part of, you know, what would that look like in this area?
So there has been, we have discussed this with JUB about a rail connection. There's potential for light rail in this area as well. This is the route that the Boise route would take along this rail line. We have discussed, and I'll show another slide here, but I have discussed a transit center, more probably oriented towards automobiles, but maybe there's potential for that in this area as well. So.
That's a really good question. It is something that we need to be taking into consideration. Because the right now, CWI is the area where we've got the transition with our transit, and the rail is also right there. But if there, it could be that if there is a business park, they may request rail stop there. Or they may say, please avoid us and put it over at CWI, where there could be that rail connection there. So it's important that, and Jeff, thank you for the question, that the awareness is there and we're taking it into consideration as we go forward. Thank you. Could I, let's pause. Are there any other questions from P&Z members that are online? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Doug.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. Do I have to reshare? Go to the next slide. So this is the Cherry Lane. This is the focus on Cherry Lane here. And again, I was speaking about this 10 Mile Creek corridor and this green space in here, the commercial planned around it. We would also propose that the commercial be planned to the south of Cherry Lane and adjacent to 16. We think that this could be another master plan type of development, maybe more focused on commercial and some higher density of the medium density residential range. And then to the east of the freeway is where the church site would be that Mark Bottles was proposing in this area, in that 33-acre site. It also, we're thinking that that has the potential to be a gateway, so the church combined with a little bit of a gateway entrance feature there would be a nice combination in that area for Meridian. A little bit further to the south, you can see that there's low density. This is where a lot of this county development has occurred. And so we're tucking in some medium density residential just to the south there, off of the Greenway, and then low-density residential. All of that would have access off of Hawaii Storm Road. Is there any comments about this section?
So I do have a question. So I'm looking at the medium-density residential. That is Highway 16 that you've got right there, correct?
Yes, the red here. Yeah.
And then that, is that Franklin? The road, the south, right next to that, at the very bottom? What road is that?
That's a pathway system.
So how far are you from Franklin there?
We are a half mile from Franklin. So.
Okay. Is there any consideration for a hotel?
As part of the commercial development, we do have some discussion about hotels a little further south.
Yes. Than this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Can I speak to that real quick, Mayor? Part of the challenge here is that we're working with the railroad tracks just to the south of this, and so it creates this barrier for us. We kind of went that direction, and we found that a Waihi storm was going to be the primary transportation route up to the north, rather than coming from the south up. It's going to be, that barrier is going to prevent us from doing any significant commercial to the north of the railroad tracks. And you'll see that in the next, I think in the next slide there. But that's why we did this. And then we looked at more commercial closer to Franklin, the south of the railroad tracks.
Okay. So is there any discussion to go over? So are we going to be going over the railroad tracks anywhere? I mean, like Highway 16, I'm trying to think, envision that it goes over. Where does a railroad track go through here?
So just to the south. So you can see the railroad tracks right here. We're not proposing any additional crossings on the railroad. The Star Road crosses currently, and 16 will be going over the top of it. So.
Okay.
Mayor?
Thank you. Yes.
I've had communication with a couple of developers that have looked at the light industrial areas on either side of Highway 16, and the accessibility is difficult for those properties for further development. Just again, for consideration is when we're looking at this, is are there frontage roads? Are there? But this is a bigger discussion with others that need to be in the room. But accessibilities to some of these, even though they're visible, they're hard to get to. Cherry Lane is really the only way to get to that light industrial area directly above the railroad lines. Because at least that's been the conversation. That's an elevated section of road that goes over the top of the railroad.
Yeah, and Star Road crosses over on the west side of those light industrial areas. The light industrial north of the railroad, that's a, what's the name of that company, Rodney, they manufacture them all.
Audubon.
That's the manufacturer there. So this area, Franklin Road crossing, again, major crossing, as we mentioned, we have Amazon immediately to the west of this. There's some other light industrial development. There's the cheese factories over to the west of this. This little commercial area right here, I think, has some real potential for hotels, as we were mentioning, Mayor, and little higher-end commercial uses, maybe even some box type of development or, large retailers. That would be a location right off of the freeway. That would be a good spot for that to. And then a light industrial park. I believe that this is already going through the process, Rodney, this one over to the east of I-16.
Yeah, that's correct. The one on the right up against Franklin, that's in just south of Franklin, east of the State Highway 16, has already been approved.
And then just north of that, as was mentioned, one of the commissioners asked about potential transit connection. Just north of Franklin Road, south of the railroad tracks, I think that potential transit center, again, if there is a stop desired here, how that would work with CWI versus this spot. But this is a potential location for that. It has good access and right off the railroad tracks. So are there any comments about this section?
No roundabouts. I didn't see any roundabouts in this.
They mentioned one.
Near a home near you. Stop.
Next slide.
Sorry.
Oh, it's next. It's coming on the next slide. Yeah. Oh, timing is everything.
You see roundabouts coming on.
There with the quarry. These land uses, we've had discussion with the landowner there, and these are some of the interests that he has in this area. There is some low-density residential to the west, but with the roadway connection off of Stam down to Airport, there's some opportunity for some high-density residential in this area. maybe even some institutional use. I know that the school, Napa School District, owns 30 acres down in this medium-density residential area. We just had a meeting with them this week. They're still holding on to the property. They don't know necessarily how they're going to use it yet, if it will be a school site or not. But and then potentially some commercial and industrial campus down off of Airport Road in this area.
And a roundabout is proposed here.
Hasn't been approved yet, has it? So, question for Rodney, or maybe for Doug. As far as there's some hillside to work against on that side of the freeway there. Do we have any hillside ordinance issues at this point for development?
No.
I was asked that question, so I thought I'd pass it on. So. Yeah. Good. Boise does. They have hillside ordinances. So.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Okay.
Keep going, Doug.
Okay. All right. We'll keep moving. So in terms of the in terms of the commercial industrial campus types of buildings, again, these are just ideas. But we'd like, this is picking up on the theme that everybody agreed to.
So, Doug, what was the theme that everyone agreed to?
Kind of a traditional with a little bit of the, more of the modern look to it.
Thank
so,
you.
So if we, we're looking for 3 to 5 story buildings in an industrial campus, or maybe so lots of fenestration, lots of architecture with the building, different types of lighting, streetscape, all those things are really important. And Bottles did a great presentation on the look that they're potentially showing here.
Mayor, if I may, Doug, and this may be a Mark or an Emily question. So I realize no one has a crystal ball, but projections of one of the negotiating for employees anymore, and there's such a labor shortage, is to work remotely. So are we talking about more office-type buildings or call centers, or what do you see, ten years from now? Have you guys done projections?
Well, a little bit. You know, we've been involved heavily with companies like Land Weston, T-Sheets, which is Intuit, and companies like that that we have located in this valley over the last 30 years I've been doing this here. And I was with Matt Russell, who started T-Sheets, that became Intuit, they're Eagle. Those buildings are now sitting vacant, believe it or not. And they're moving to remote working. But what you're seeing with companies like some of these food companies, like, they're looking, they have high-paying jobs, but they're, like, in, there's a company in Eagle, I placed them in Meridian, and they went basically in more of the tech park, and so what they do is, they have executive offices, the average pay, like, in there is probably over $200,000 per employee, but in the back room, they're creating products that, if you go into Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, products that are being placed in there, so... what you're seeing so much more is more this flex kind of tech industrial part that the buildings can flex so that, you know, you'll walk in and there'll be tables like this and everybody in there, but they're tech jobs. And part of it's cost, it's flexibility. And what we're finding is, you know, even if I was talking to Tommy Alquist yesterday for hours, but they're a 10-mile Paylocity. They've got this huge building. It's for sublease right now along the freeway. And you know, the market is moving in a new direction. And you know, and who knows, I can't project, you know, 20 years from now.
Yeah.
But you do see, because of costs and things, they are shifting. And that's where the flexibility, what we're seeing, is taking place, you know, in the market. And so when we're talking to these tech companies or people out of state come in, you know, they're looking for that. So... and so anyway, that's where we're seeing that growing. You can still make the buildings look nice. It's interesting because, just real quick, like Paylocity, the average employee in that business park on that side is like 52,000. It's a stat. But then you go to what I call more of a business park, like we showed that Elk Creek, and what you're seeing going to be coming into place. Those jobs are $20,000 higher on average. And so, you know, it's a mindset shift of what are those employees doing? Where, you know, where is that going? And it is changing. for sure. So, you know, the way things, you know, I've been, you know, give you an example, another one real quick is, you know, I was involved in the sale there at Overland and Eagle Road, and we had Silverstone and El Dorado Business Park. Those sales happened when I was a kid, when my son was here. It was about his age. So we did those sales, and it's crazy. Those business parks are running out. That has changed. They're rezoning a lot of that. If you go in the back of those business parks, they're multifamily, and that's all changing, and they're going more commercial. So they're trying to get this blend mix like we're suggesting because, you know, they planned it all as an entire business park, but it's taken 20-some years, almost 25 years. And, you know, they need more of that mix in those parks and flexibility, you know, is what we're seeing because as the market changes, you know, that type of thing. And a lot of those business buildings in there and those business parks were tilt-up concrete, single-story buildings, and which, you know, that's how they did office. But as time changes, we're starting to see more of this kind of product. And the evolution, even in the industrial parks where people got by with doing, I'm not faulting anyone, sheet metal or just, you know, a lot inexpensive, those things are changing. So I think business parks, when I said, you know, I think they have really changed and it's driving that. So anyway, that's okay, probably so more than you wanted.
So, you know, the bottom line is your plans and so on are for flexibility. So as time changes and the demand changes, then you'll be able to change with it.
Yeah, and you want a real customer. I mean, real, you know, the Pet IQ building is kind of the same example. I mean, they've got everything that they changed. I remember the mayor of Eagle came to me and said, hey, we've got a height variance here. Should we do this? Well, there was no residential right next to it. I'm like, and I wasn't involved with Pet IQ, but I said, the mayor, the Eagle, man, Jason, you've got to give a variance here because it's a great building. You know, you don't want that company to leave and go to another city if they really want to stay.
They could have come to Napa.
Yeah, I know. Hey, we're excited working with you and your team here because, I mean, we, as a company, you know, honestly, I would say we've made our bet on Nampa and of that. We've been heavily involved in the Fields District, very heavily. But with the people that we work with, they want to assemble large. And the big issue there is master planning community. I've been in this valley, and everything's 20 acres at a time. 10 acres at a time, 40 acres at a time. That's great. It's done that way around the country. But what's nice is when you can assemble ground, which is difficult to do when land ownership is not usually huge. It's a 40-acre farmer here, 80-acre farmer here, 10-acre. And we've worked, and it's costly to do. And so when you go in there and able to assemble that, we want to make it so when you drive this, through this park, it's just going to flow. It's going to feel right. It might have hotels, you know, and then you have employment right there, cut down commuter time, pathways. And honestly, that's really what we want to see come to fruition here. And so we're committed to it, and we appreciate, you know, working with everyone. So we're excited about it. And we did place that church in there, Randy. That's the church I attend. And so selfishly, we're putting them in that park, so it's got to go well for us. So we're also going to hear about it until I die. Anyway,
thanks, Mark.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you,
Mark.
Jeff online has his hand up.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Jeff.
Yeah, I hope you can still hear me.
We can.
Hey, I was just thinking about business. Okay, thanks, Mayor. I was just thinking about these business parks and the buildings along the I-84 corridor, and they're really nice-looking, Meridian, Eagle, but they all kind of seem the same. I was just hoping, and maybe just offer for consideration, that whatever is built in these areas in Nampa, that there is, they don't look the same as the 10 Mile and the Eagle buildings. As nice as those are, it would be kind of nice to have, you know, when they get to this area, they know that they're in Nampa. And they're not just trolling down the freeway and seeing all the same buildings. So, just a thought.
Mayor.
Thank you, Jeff. Yes.
So I was just going to share that I'm currently working on a 40-acre development that will be in Caldwell that has buildings like this as far as along the frontage of Kershaw Road. That is a mixed-use approach. Commercial on the lower level and residential above on the next few levels. And then the transition into the development is townhouse development. So there's a multifamily approach. And then beyond that is the patio homes for 55 and older, keeping in mind the sensitivity to the Valley View School District. So very similar concept to this, and it's a transitional development, which I think is going to be very successful if it's approved through Caldwell.
Mayor?
Yes, Councilman
Rodriguez. I have a question for Mr. Bottles. So here's the thing that we've been hit with every time we turn around, and that is multi-use or multi-family apartment complexes. And I don't see that in your development or in your ideas here. Explain why. Not that I want them, but I want to see your attitude about apartment complexes, which they call those townhomes, but they're actually apartments.
I don't know. The plan that we submitted, I don't know if you can bring that back up there. Again, I don't know if you have the overall one that you can get.
Yeah.
So a little bit, and this is just from years of experience and then also travel. We travel a lot in looking at projects, whether it's in suburbs of Chicago, suburbs of down in California, looking at it. So we want to create a place where basically all business there. So we've got like commercial up along USIC because it's by the interchange. We've got some high-density housing, multi-story high-density housing where people that work in these places. We've got that bit, like where we showed you the video of Elk Creek Business Park there to the south of that. And then as we get away from the interchange, we're then putting housing and stepping that up in density. Right along the freeway, nobody wants to live in a single-story home right up against the freeway, I don't think so. But so we have higher density, and then we transition back to really blend it back into the neighborhoods in the back. So we are stepping it down, you know, in consideration of people that already live back there. But I hope I'm answering your question. So our idea is along that, you know, really trying to create a place where people are working, living, you know, in that area. Is that the question you had?
I apparently missed that part.
Yeah. So that, really that plan, when I say that we've submitted, we've really kind of spent a lot of time thinking this through and saying, hey, does this work, the mix? Because we don't want to go create something that doesn't work. And so that's kind of how we've worked through that process for quite a while, worked with the city on it for quite a while.
Oh,
does that answer?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Hey, Mayor.
Yes.
So in this proposal with the high density, is it proposed that we have the housing where it's apartment and then maybe above or below they have their working space so they can work from their homes? Is that part of the plan?
Mark, have we gotten that level of detail yet?
No, we haven't gotten that. And appreciate the question. On this, we have not gotten in that level of detail. In fact, a lot of that work live, like below, is truly being tested out in the marketplace. And, you know, where it's a lot more successful is in downtown urban area, where you're downtown. When you get away from that, that changes significantly with some of the retailers and just the noise and how you transition that. On State Street in Boise, we've been working on a property. The same thing is the issue is we haven't been able to get any tenants on the lower level, and they end up trying to convert it later back to residential. And so, but we have not gone into that level of looking at that at this point. So, I appreciate the question.
Mayor?
Yes.
Jeff wants to say something before you ask over the meeting.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Online.
Jeff does. Okay. Hi, Jeff. Thank you, Mark.
Oh. No, I apologize. It wasn't a comment to make. I just have to run to another meeting, so I've got to take off. That's all I was letting Mark know.
I get.
Well, I didn't think Mark was going to tell you. I just wanted to let him know.
That was
I blew my cover, Mark. Thank you.
Mark, due diligence. Good job. Thank you. Jeff, thank you for joining us this morning.
All right. Thank you. Good.
Are there any other questions before Doug?
Mayor?
Yes.
Maybe this is a question for Doug. Doug, is this... the high density shown on the Bottles plan, is that consistent with our proposed land use plan?
So
in that area.
And Mark, maybe you can help me with this. I'm going to bring up our proposal. Okay. What's that?
Just click away from it.
Yeah, I clicked OK. It's not coming out.
Click on the screen.
There we go. Thanks, Rodney. I grew up with typewriters and telephones on the wall, so. Okay. So the commercial industrial campus is showing, it looks like it's overlaying where it's being proposed for high-density residential in this area. So that's something that the county, that's probably a little bit of a different look than Mark is proposing here.
Bree, could you maybe point to it on the screen so that they can see?
That would be very helpful. Thank you.
So I believe Bottles is proposing his multifamily here with his commercial, and then the rest here being the industrial business commercial campus, and then here additional multifamily. Yeah. So I believe where they don't match up is that the southern portion does not identify on ours as multifamily, whereas theirs does.
And the far east right next to the...
Right here.
Correct.
Unless that were to be a little further north, then it would fit in right here. We do identify this as high-density residential and commercial. So
a quick question. So when you say our plan, but is that our current zoning or the proposed zoning in this plan? So I'm curious what's been adopted, if we need to adopt it differently, or if this is a revision to the plan.
This is an opportunity, Mayor, to revise. This is the proposal from JUD. So if the council desires to go more with what Mark is proposing in this area, we can give us that feedback, and we'll be glad to make those changes.
Yes.
Mark, the church site, just for reference, is that on the east side of 16 or on the west?
That is on the east side, down in the corner of Cherry and Franklin. I mean, at Cherry and McDermott. Yeah.
Okay. So your development would be both sides of 16.
Yeah, we're actually on both sides. We're on both sides of 16, all the way through there.
So you would be accessing those properties off of McDermott?
Yeah. So McDermott's got a little connection where they're going to jog. ITD is around there, mm-hmm. and I expect that to improve. And then obviously that stormway, like that. You have planned to go all the way through to be a major collector, through that business park and all that housing to get to the interchange, I think is going to be a vital. So we've, incorporate that into our plan. So,
Mark, question. So I take it that you're confident you're buying these 300 acres. So whatever plan lands, whether it's revised or whatever, even if you have a developer comes in and wants to do something different, a different zoning or whatever the case is, you are feel confident you can be patient enough to follow whatever the plan is.
Yeah. So
and say, hey, maybe you need to go up here or go there or whatever, but it's not where you're going to be pushing us to change all of a sudden.
Yes, correct. So we closed on 160 acres. We're closing here in just in a few weeks. What's that?
Yeah, a couple weeks.
And a couple weeks on the rest of it. So, we've committed to it, earnest money and everything. The plan, if what I'm hearing you say, Darrell, is the plan that we proposed, we want to follow that through what we're showing, the plan that we proposed, because we've looked at, I think, in your information, trying to have the housing mix and trying to get that all coordinated with density and to really do that, because we've looked at kind of how does this flow within the project.
So you feel like there's enough demand out there where, a big money developer comes in and says, no, I want to do this here. You're able to say, hey.
Yes, no. The plan that we've submitted to you, when I say we're committed to it, and we feel confident on the kind of users we can bring in there, honestly, I guess my ask would be the plan that we have proposed that the city council adopted, we stick with that and roll through that. And the other thing I would take, and we're working with Public Works, is let's get sewer out there and utilities as fast as we can. We're willing to work with you. We know there's things there, and they've been great. But honestly, we've got tenants and people we want to bring in. We want to see this come together. So we're extremely excited about it and really, really committed to it. So, but absolutely, we're not going to be coming back in here and say, hey, let's go back and change this.
Because we do hear that at times.
Oh, I'm sure you do. And it's where I see that a little bit, why we're trying to avoid that, is we have seen that happen. at Silverstone and El Dorado and Meridian, because those were the first two business parks that came into the valley. And it was too much of one thing. And that's why we're trying to get this transition, that it flows and then it feels right when it comes in with the kind of users, the retailers, and the whole mix. That it just, it's a sense of place that, I mean, really want it to be okay. That good feel. So.
And I'll try to be quiet so Randy doesn't have to take over at 8:30. So.
Now, this discussion is really good, and this is the place for it, so I encourage it to go on, Rodney.
Mayor, I just wanted to clarify that this plan is not zoning, and it's not our comprehensive plan.
Oh, okay.
So our comprehensive plan, if we had community mixed use in this area, it says commercial, industrial, well, those both fit in that community mixed use. But we're refining that in this situation where we are saying, in the comp plan, it says community mixed use can have multifamily housing. We're refining that a little more to say, wait a second, we want this refined enough to say it's commercial and industrial, it's not multifamily. So we will kind of in between the zoning, when they come in for zoning, we're saying, does it match our comprehensive plan? Well, now we're saying, does it match our comprehensive plan and this master plan that says, here's what you should be doing? So I just want to make sure that's clear, that when Mark Bottles is proposing multifamily, if we don't have that on this plan, that's not an allowed use anymore if this were to be adopted.
So I want to even more clarity just to make sure I'm fully sure. Understanding. My understanding is that the area-specific plans overlay our comp plan.
That's correct.
And that is the newly adopted, that it isn't the comp plan designation, it's now the area-specific plan, because we're working on a couple different area-specific plans. So this would hold true, which, if I understand correctly, we need to change this area-specific plan to adopt what they're recommending to ease the process, if we're going to do that. Now is the time to do that.
Mayor, if you're going to do that, you need to designate that
The multifamily is going to go right here.
And if you, we could, again, we could go a couple of different directions here. We could go where this becomes the future land use map, or we could go, the future land use map is up here, and this refines that a little more specifically. The challenge with going to future land use map here is that there is no designation on the comprehensive plan right now for commercial industrial campus. So this refines it, but if we want to make this a future land use map, we're going to be creating new land use designations. And we can do that, definitely.
Well, don't we need to do that as we move forward? Because what we were finding, and the reason we did this, was because we did not have the appropriate land use designations based on Highway 16 coming in. So I would, I mean, unless I'm wrong here, my recommendation would be that this becomes the new, based on all the research and the work that's been done, that this is the recommended land use. Then if we didn't go with the recommended land use, that would be, it would be a rezone request that then council could, in planning and zoning, could determine whether they were willing to entertain that. But I would recommend that we take into consideration the changes that are being requested to this before we adopt it, so that we don't have to go through that process with the multifamily.
Yeah.
But Mayor, aren't we talking about the whole area of impact in the city of Nampa as that area, not just this portion of the development? So this is specific, obviously, to what we've been presented today, which is good.
This is the entire area, though.
No, that's all the way to the river.
No, this is the Highway 16 specific
so, okay,
area.
So we're talking about this to the interstate from Highway 2026.
Yes, this is the I-84 2026 Highway 16 corridor area specific plan
so
that
how
doesn't.
How far each side are we going? Half a mile?
McDermott to.
Half mile wide
as far as following the Highway 16, which basically the McDermott.
I think we need to clarify that. So our study area, goes from what's on the far west, Doug.
Isn't that Robinson?
To the far west is a half mile west of Star. So it
doesn't
West of Star.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've been presented graphics as far as for the whole area impact as well to consider. Are we talking about that as the area specific plan that you mentioned?
The traditional is the area specific plan. Everything we're talking about today is strictly this area specific plan.
Okay.
McDermott to the half a mile west of Robinson or Star.
So one question I was going to ask. I know that time's getting precious here. I know that Canyon County is looking at updating their comp plan. I've seen some feedback already from different developers here, things that are not happy with some of the things they're presenting. Anything within our area of impact, we don't have to bounce any of that information off of Canyon County, do we?
That's correct. We don't have to.
We're not bound in any way informed with their comp plan.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Baldwin said something that really sparked my attention, and one of besides all this, one was infrastructure and sewer that we don't have any out there. So, does that mean that the Baldwins and their associates are going to be installing sewer in that Eustace area, or are we still going to, like you propose, go ahead and do it?
So, it's a good question, and actually we have, and Tom Points can speak to this if Tom's still on, we are planning to bring sewer to this area. As it gets closer to the area, there might be some partnership with the development to assist in that cost. We have not had that discussion at all, but the city actually, it's an investment that the city's going to have to make to get it close to this area. So, and Tom, would you like to speak to that?
Sure, Mayor. So, sewer on the Eustace corridor is actually on our utility impact fee capital improvement plan. So, we just started collecting funding in the utility impact fee in July. So, we're gaining revenue through that. And we're also looking at refining what the alignment will be and getting some good cost estimates for that section right now through our master planning. So we do plan to invest that impact fee dollars to bring sewer closer to 16. Not sure that we've got the funding to go all the way to 16, so Mayor's comment about some partnership development is true.
So Mayor, Tom, what's the projected timeline if all goes as planned?
So we want to final up our concept here and then get the proposal to City Council this year and the next before the new year on the design contract. It'll probably take us a year to design, to get some easements, and then another year of construction. So
the very best case would
be 2 years.
Yeah. So a quick question I'd like to have from Mark Bottles. How does that fit within your development time frame? Needless to say, infrastructure takes a while.
Yeah, and I can speak to that a little bit. I think what we would love is when the highway comes in, when the highway comes in, and phase two of the highway is scheduled to be complete in 2024 here. So we understand that sewer design takes time, and we've had some conversations about sewer in our last meeting with Danielle. So we know that this is still being planned right now. I think 2-3 years would be just the best timeline when that highway is in there. Would be great. Some of the stuff that we have on the east side, the church really wants to start building immediately. So we're trying to be creative also on that east side to get things going before sewer can come. But 2-3 years would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So, Mayor, if I could just get direction from this group to align this area with the plan that the Bottle Group is been proposing, would that be a direction from this group to do that?
So this is a discussion meeting, so yeah. This is a nod direction, not an actual action, just for clarity, but we're seeing, I see the support from council,
Jacob gave me his proxy as he left.
He did, yeah. So I think what we saw from Planning and Zoning Commission and from City Council was yes.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and make those changes so we don't have to do changes later. Just bring that in. And thank you. I really appreciate you guys being here, Planning and Zoning, and online and here. Thank you so much, because it's just so important that we're all there. Doug, I guess I have two things, and I probably will step away, but let us know what else you need from this body today, what you are hoping to achieve, and have we achieved that? And then it would be nice, as I step away, it'd be good to have comment. I'd like to hear from Planning and Zoning, our commission members, if they have any thoughts or comments on this. Everybody's been pretty quiet.
Ron, thanks for that. I was going to ask you where this falls within the comp plan and make sure I understood, like, at what level this is. So, I guess, does this restrict development too much to where we can't do the mixed-use kind of developments that Randy was describing? I love the idea of having retail professional office on the main level and residential above, or, you know, or other creative developments that people could make with mixed use. Is this, with this, for sure, that?
Mayor, Commission, yes, in where it goes, but as you saw on that last slide, neighborhood commercial with high density residential, you could absolutely do that with that kind of a designation. We don't have that on the comprehensive plan, future land use map. We have community mixed use, or we have commercial or residential. So if we change the comp plan to say this, then that becomes a possibility. If we change that future land use map, it becomes a possibility.
But on this area specific plan, like that high density residential / neighborhood commercial,
there you go.
That stuff would still be allowed there. But it wouldn't be allowed in the medium density residential. And I guess, yeah. Okay, so that kind of stuff would be allowed in certain areas.
In certain areas, yeah. And you wouldn't want, you know, of course, you need to think very carefully about where that would go. And we just think USIC is probably the best place for that to go.
But at high density residential, that would limit them to apartments and
homes. Yeah, Ronnie, if I could chime in here. So along with the specific plan will be very specific language that will define these areas. So there's still some discussion as to whether this should go back to the comp plan or if this should just be an overlay. If it's an overlay, if we want to make changes to the specific area plan and it's not enshrined in the comprehensive plan, it gives us that liberty to be able to do that and have the council approve those changes without having to go through a comprehensive plan change.
That seems like a wise way to do it to me, to have an overlay. I don't know, does the comp plan just say see area, specific area plan?
It will be denotated on the comprehensive plan as that is a specific area plan.
And then if we need to make changes or want to make changes, what's the process? Is it the same as making a change to the comp plan?
I haven't worked that out yet. I think if it becomes officially the future land use map by adoption, then any time you amend that plan, you might have to go back through the comp plan amendment process anyway. But we're going to have to clarify that with legal, what the process is for that. If it's just a plan that kind of informs your decision and you meet the comprehensive plan future land use map designation, then this is just informing it, then there's not as much teeth in it, then probably that's fine. You just make the changes and you adopt the plan changes. But my guess is that we're going to have to go through some kind of public hearing like we would for a comprehensive plan.
So, it's basically just a denser version of the specific area.
It's a great way to look at it. That's how I view it.
Yeah. Which gives it the teeth, but also makes it more of a pain to change if we don't have to change it. So, and one question again on the, we talked about the traditional versus modern look or whatever like that. Like how specific? Are we giving them a color palette? These are the bricks you can choose, and
no.
How specific are we getting on those guidelines?
So they're guidelines. They're not standards, if you will, but they're guidelines with some requirements that will go into code. There's a new section of code, chapter 25, that will be specific area plans, and that will have some specificity, but the guidelines then are just guidelines. They're not standards. They're not shalls, they're should or could or
is that the purview of the design review committee to determine whether or not they're following those shoulds?
Yeah, this will fall back to design review.
And you could, maybe a good way to look at this is, if a project comes before the commission, or it comes before city council, and you say, okay, they want to annex in, what are they going to do? And they show some design elements, they show their renderings, and it doesn't fit, the city staff is going to look at this traditional theme and say, here's the traditional theme. Here are the elements that you adopted in the plan. Council and commission, does this fit? And then at that time, you could give some direction and say, this doesn't seem to fit our theme, or it looks pretty good. So, again, it's guidance, but you can use the teeth you have are the annexation, the entitlements. You could put requirements on them to comply with those themes. So if they don't do it, then you say this doesn't fit.
So will there be more strict design review standards for the specific area plan than the rest of the city?
Yes, I think in general the guidance is going to be there, but also we have greater landscaping requirements. Site plan changes, kinds of appearance of buildings. Yeah, we're going to have to look at that specifically.
So we just had a couple of ideas of what a traditional theme building might look like, and we could point a developer to this and say, look, this is the type of look we're after, and then let the architects and the developers come up with the design. And with that in mind, the standards and guidelines are very different things. The standards will be in code. Guidelines will be verbiage of what we're looking for. And it'll be a combination of that. It can be used by the design review committee, the council, and the commission to make those decisions.
Okay. I like it. I think they would have acquired this property and done all this research if they didn't have a good idea and a good plan going forward. So I like what they're proposing. I think, however, we can work with them to get their project going as quick as possible. And if there's any way to step up the process and the time frame of getting our utilities headed that direction, because when this highway gets done, we want to start having stuff coming out of the ground instead of just sitting there. And we can't do it without the utilities. So I think city council needs to figure out how we can start getting those utilities out there that much quicker. So those guys can get this stuff up and going, because Meridian's gonna build it, and they're right next to us. So either we beat them to the punch, or we're gonna be behind the eight ball, and we're gonna be playing catch up all the way along, and they're gonna end up with all the good tenants, and we're gonna get the not so good ones. So I think we need to beat them, and we've got the majority of this Highway 16 interchange right here on our side of the street, so why don't we have it ready to go? But I think their project looks great. So.
President Haverfield, so from an economic standpoint, I think you're here, so I bet you want to be part of the team in decision making. How do you like this plan?
So, commissioners, Commissioners, Councilmen, I am in full support of this. As Mark and Emily indicated earlier, we have not had this kind of development in the valley to any extent in my lifetime. It's always been a matter of us reacting to small developments coming together. When we have something that's such a game changer, a brand new corridor for our community, it's going to establish a brand new gateway into Nampa. We have one opportunity to make this very special. That's why we took the time and made the investment to do the planning work for this, and to see folks like the Bottles team who already have a great track record in this kind of development step forward and be able to take advantage of this right out of the gate is going to put us far ahead. So I believe in it completely. I love the mixed use components of it. I think that we've always struggled a little bit to balance job creation and residential growth. And when we want to make sure that we have a true live-work community, this is the way to do it.
Okay, thanks. And by the way, Mark Wallace did not ask me to ask you that question. So. Okay. That's good input, though. Thanks.
So, Doug, Mayor had to step out, obviously, so she gave me the microphone. What more are you wanting to share with us this morning, or is it just still kind of conversational?
No, thank you, President Haberfield. We had some ideas about some other what a campuses could look like, but I wanted to share with you the schedule. We'll plan on bringing this back to the Planning and Zoning Commission in November, and then back to the City Council in December for your approval. I have to go testify at the county, so Rodney's going to take over for me here, and if there's any other questions about the scheduling, we can go from there.
So. Thank you, Doug. Appreciate your presentation. Rodney, what else did you want to share with us this morning?
Good morning, Doug. Thank you.
Council and Commission, really, we're at the end of our presentation here. Our next steps, as you can see on the screen, is we're going to go back to a steering committee, get their buy-off on it. We're going to give a general sense of what we heard from the council and the commission today, and get their buy-off on a formal plan moving forward. We'll put the narrative, get all the details in there, and then come back and bring that to the Planning and Zoning Commission for approval, or recommendation, excuse me, and then the City Council for approval. So that's where we're at. As you can see, we're anticipating that adoption in December.
So the Highway 16 corridor itself, from 2026 to the interstate, that has currently all been bid out and is under construction, or will be under construction?
Yeah, the right-of-way.
No, I'm talking about the actual installation. We're talking about timing. When will Highway 16 be extended to the freeway?
It's being constructed right now. I think it is a year and a half that construction is meant to be completed. We've heard from Emily and Mark that the ITD still hasn't purchased all the right-of-way, but they're working on it. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're working from the south and from the north into the middle. So some of this in the middle has not been purchased yet from landowners, but all the construction drawings, you know, it's all done.
Right.
And they are going to be complete with phase two by 2024.
Yeah, I understood that the two sections had been bid and started construction, but the center section was yet to be bid out. So has it been bid out? If the right-of-way hasn't been purchased,
the accessibility of
the portion of property that you're talking about is still going to be based on the current traffic systems that are there, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And you'll just have to build within the right-of-ways that will be taken And 16 second, okay.
President, just quickly, the Owyhee Swarm roadway is a new proposed roadway that they hadn't seen when they put their design together. So we've been communicating with them about that and asking them to incorporate that into their plans. They currently have a couple of little access roads to properties that are a part of this development that don't fit with what we're proposing, because they're essentially a Owyhee Swarm would take over that responsibility of giving that access to the properties. And so that area in the middle there, I don't know, but maybe that's part of the reason is they're still redesigning that or looking at that access, and then coming in, they're going to have to come in and do the purchase.
So the conversation around utilities and extension to the property, the sewer capacity through the Purdom system, will there have to be, maybe this is a Daniel question, but
Tom,
the capacity is there for this whole area of development?
I defer to Tom on that one.
Yes, Councilor, there's capacity at the plant. And
but a force main have to be put in?
Station upgrades at Purdom, and then get the sewer lines in down Eustick. So, but there is capacity.
So would that be a force main that would have to be put in place to be able to push it that far?
Well, we're hoping to gravity feed it all the way to Purdom lift station and then
upgrade the Purdom station.
Purdom to the sewer plant.
Okay.
That's some of the cost alternatives we're looking at. The deep sewer is quite expensive for a gravity.
Exactly. So water, what about water itself? How far away from this eastern boundary are we with as far as providing water?
I think water is a little bit closer. We're by Canada Road. And then we've got the sewer is farther away. It's along Eustick and Franklin.
And then we still have our in place our latecomers hookup fees, so there is some incentive for the developer to put help at least put in some of the cost of that those extensions. Correct.
That's correct.
All right. Thank you,
Mr. President. Just so I can believe, maybe everyone else has kind of a consensus. The mayor's not here, so. But I was hearing from her that she was recommending more or less a land use plan change to the comprehensive plan. I was hearing from Drew and others that this would be more of a layover. So how are you, what's your narrative going to, are you going to need to have a conversation with the mayor yet and so on? So what's your narrative look like that you're going to put out there?
Great question. The mayor is my boss,
put you on the spot, really.
So I will do what the direction she gives me. But if there's a general sense of what you would like us to do, we can take that to the mayor and have.
Well, I think that would be good if we had whether it's a total consensus, but what at least we're leaning towards. And
that's what our thumbs up was.
Yeah, that was a thumbs up on the additional layover.
Yeah.
I thought it was incorporated there, but not how that was going to look as far as whether the mayor, my understanding was she was actually saying, let's make changes to our land use comprehensive plan. Am I wrong on that?
That's correct.
And that was not what my thumbs up was.
Well, what's your thumbs up for then?
Was to use their plan, but I'm also at Drew Bench, and I'm more of a layover than making a total change.
Right.
Those are two different topics.
And I think that's the whole idea of a comp plan anyways. It's a living document. It's not meant to be concrete. And so there is the ability to manipulate or at least revise, even an overlay. I mean, if someone already come
over, so the overlay is the consensus? Is that bottom line?
Okay. I think that's what the intent was.
Okay. No, I would agree with that.
Now you buy us lunch.
Yeah, no, I'm buying you lunch.
You know what that is, McDonald's. Okay.
No, it's taco time.
And President, just to confirm, either way we go, it's going to have the same effect, right? It's still going to accomplish the same effect. one way is, it's just different, two different methods of getting that.
It's just a guiding document. Yeah. and it helps developers know what the intent is. And I'll say that when Eagle Road was conceived and put in, a lot of smaller buildings were built right away because they own the ground, but I think the developers would even prefer having something a little bit more stately and the ability to see something. When you're flying by it at 55 to 65 miles an hour, you want to be able to recognize the building you're trying to get to. So I think the idea of having this type of information available, I think, helps them sell a concept even further to a potential developer coming in. So I like the approach that we're taking, and I think that's what I understood the intent was.
Thank you. This has been really helpful for staff, and you'll be seeing this after the steering committee makes a recommendation.
All right. Well, unless there's any other questions for our staff or each other, I would accept a motion to adjourn by the city council. So there's a motion by Greer and seconded by Janke. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Have a great day. Thanks for coming.